Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. The Bible calls it the first commandment with promise, and spiritually for us, if we honor our Father who is in heaven by doing what God expects of us, we will receive a gift that neatly ties into this commandment with promise. We'll start our review of this commandment with promise by considering the mother of Moses, who gave birth to a son during a time when the midwives of Israel were told by Pharaoh to kill all the newborn sons. The midwives didn't obey Pharaoh, and neither did the mother of Moses. Instead, she hid him for 90 days until he was too big to be hid anymore. She then created a small ark to float Moses down the river so that he could have a chance of life instead of the certain death that would come to him through the overseers of Pharaoh. The little ark carrying Moses could have taken him anywhere, and God worked it out so that it carried Moses directly to the daughter of Pharaoh who was by the river that day. God even worked it out so that the birth mother of Moses was paid to nurse him, and when Moses was old enough, he moved into the household of Pharaoh. Exodus 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said a sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." The mother of Moses gave him the best opportunity for life by doing what she did for him. Down the road in the history of Israel, a woman named Hannah was having difficulty becoming pregnant, and this bothered her. Hannah never lost faith and prayed that she would have the opportunity to become a mother. And she vowed to God that if she was given a son, her child would serve him. The priest who heard her pray thought she was drunk when she was really just very sad. Hannah did become pregnant and named her son Samuel because she had asked God for a son. When Samuel was old enough, Hannah took him to Eli the priest as she had previously promised to lend him to God. Hannah had faith to become a mother, and then as a mother, acted with faith for the benefit of her son. 1 Samuel 1, verse 20. Wherefore, it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever." And Elkanah her husband said unto her, "Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word." So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Moving on to another notable mother in the Bible, when Naomi returned to Israel as a childless widow after living in Moab during a drought, she must have been surprised when one of her daughters-in-law, Ruth, came to Judah with her, even though she had encouraged both daughters-in-law to return to their families in Moab. Ruth's decision to go to Judah with Naomi speaks volumes not only about who Ruth was, but also speaks volumes about the type of mother that Naomi was. It must have been very easy for Ruth to see the love that Naomi had for her family, and that likely contributed to Ruth's decision to go to Judah with her. Ruth 1, verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters, why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. Whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. There is no doubting the impact that Mary had as the mother of Jesus, and that among women she was blessed by God. While the information about the childhood of Jesus is mostly not included in the Bible, we know that Mary and her husband Joseph did a great job raising Jesus, who, when he was dying during the crucifixion, looked at his mother and made sure that John would look after her once he was dead. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. His human father, Joseph, was instrumental in having the baby Jesus saved from Herod's persecutions. God could have used his full army of angels to save Jesus from Herod, and chose Joseph and Mary, human parents for a son. In a dream, the angel of God spoke to Joseph, telling him to move his family to Egypt to avoid Herod's persecutions. Later, the angel of God would appear again to Joseph, telling him to return back home and to live in Galilee to avoid any impact of Herod's son. Matthew 2, verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, and was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Abraham, the father of Israel, was very old when Isaac was born to him. He thought he would die without an heir, and God told him he would one day have a child to be heir, and that his descendants would be like the stars of heaven, far too many to easily count. Having no children at this moment in time, Abraham believed, and it was counted as righteousness for him. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. We think of Noah as the man who built the ark that survived the flood of Genesis, and he was also the father of three sons, a father who did what God expected of him, who walked with God when the world was filled with evil, not doing what God expected. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Parents impact their children, and hopefully parents impact their children for good. The mother of Moses, Hannah, Naomi, Mary, Joseph, Abraham, and Noah are just some of the many parents who positively impacted their children that we can read about in the Bible. We might think that religious people would see these positive examples of parents and knowing the fifth commandment would make sure that honor is given to parents. But during the time of Jesus, that was not the case. The scribes and Pharisees, the religious elites of his day, used reasoning to justify why they didn't need to honor their parents. They incorrectly taught that it was acceptable to not honor one's parents if a gift to the temple was involved. Instead of honoring older parents and providing for them when needed, in the minds of the scribes and Pharisees, the needs of older parents could be ignored if money went to the temple. Jesus taught that twisted logic like this: ignore what was taught in the commandment, and in modern English usage, we say, follow the money. Mark 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees, and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect to your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. It was Paul who, in writing to the Ephesians, called the fifth commandment the first commandment with promise, a promise of long life. He also wrote that parents, specifically fathers, are to raise children according to what God teaches, but that parents are not to provoke children to wrath. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The people of Israel were reminded of several commandments in Leviticus, including honoring one's parents. Leviticus 19, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourself molten gods. I am the Lord your God. That brings us to the fifth commandment. Let's read Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Hebrew word for honor is kabod, Strong's Hebrew word 3513, broadly meaning to honor. The same word is used in reference to God and then takes on the additional meaning of glorifying. Job wrote of what happens to a parent's children after the parent dies. He asked the question, if a man die, shall he live again? He went on to show that in death, a parent does not know the honor or shame that comes to their children. Job 14, verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. For now thy numberest my steps, dost thou not watch over my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. And surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of his place. The waters wear the stones, thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of man. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passeth. Thou changest his countenance, and sendest him away. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not. They are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul with him shall mourn. Daniel wrote of the honor that will be given a god of forces in the end time by the king of the north, instead of the God of Israel. And Daniel shows that honor can be misguided. Daniel 11, verse 29. At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Kittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with him that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, and by captivity, and by spoil, many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is not yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself, and magnify himself above every god. And he shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and he shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. From Job, we learned there is no awareness of honor in death. It is when a person is alive that it is the best time to bestow honor on them. So giving honor to a parent is something done while they are alive. We do not wait until they have died to bestow honor. In addition to giving honor, there are things regarding our parents we cannot do. Dishonoring parents through violence or words was looked at as seriously as human trafficking. Exodus 21, verse 15. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Knowing that we are to honor our parents, the Bible tells us there will be a generation that will see itself as superior to their parents, and that superiority leads it to look down on the parents. This generation sees itself as better than their parents, yet in reality is no different and possibly worse than their parents. They see themselves as morally superior and use their self-defined moral superiority to go after anyone who they see as less than they are. We cannot allow ourselves to be numbered among the generation that curses parents and does not bless them. Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Paul warned Timothy that in the end time, that perilous times would come with people greedily focused on themselves to the point where no honor is given to parents. Without giving honor, this generation of people would be disobedient to parents, lacking natural affection. And yet this generation would still have a form of godliness, but deny its power. What Paul is saying is that in the end time, people will appear religious, but be so selfishly focused on themselves that they will even bring dishonor to parents through disobedience. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and holy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Instead of living a life of disobedience, we are taught to respond to what we are taught by our parents as if these teachings are precious gifts that bring us the richness of salvation. Proverbs 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. What parents teach children should lead to a better life for their children and need to be kept close to heart. These teachings should illuminate a pathway forward so children can walk towards success. And it is by doing what parents teach their children that children show honor to their parents. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Honor needs to be given parents. And one way that honor is shown is through the relationships that exist in extended families. Grandchildren can bring honor to grandparents, even though a child's identity comes through their parents. The grandchildren learn to honor their grandparents through the honor given by their parents to the grandparents. Through that relationship, grandchildren learn that giving honor to parents is something done throughout our lifetime. Giving honor to parents is not just an expectation of juvenile children. All children need to honor their parents at all times throughout their life. Proverbs 17, verse 1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than an house full of sacrifices with strife. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. In our fast-paced society, some are quick to ignore parents as they get busy with life, and sometimes that is a result of parents who are so busy with work that they overlook their children. Back about 50 years ago, there was a song, Cats in the Cradle, that shows the busy life of a father whose son wants to be just like him. The father never seems to find the time for a son, though he loves his son, and growing up, the son has no bitter feelings about how busy his dad was to provide for the family. Decades later, when the dad is elderly, he realizes that his son is now busy with his own family, and even though the son loves his dad, can't find the time for his dad. And the dad realizes his son had grown up just like him. Parents cannot ignore their children. Children cannot ignore their parents at any time in life if honor is to be given to them. Proverbs 23, verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. The Bible teaches that honor is to be given parents. While all parents are worthy of honor for bringing life to this world, those parents who sacrifice for their families are often given the highest honor. We can read about the virtuous woman who did so much for her family and who was held in high honor by her family. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out not by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. When parents are of the faith, it is important for parents to teach the faith to their children. When a person of faith is of the second and third generation of faith, it is in part because of what they were taught as a child about the faith. Not all children respond to God's calling. But when children have no honor for their parents and grandparents, they are much less likely to respond to God's calling through anything done by their parents and grandparents. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. As we think about the calling we have been given and the calling we want for our children, we can look to the teaching of Jesus, who taught the need to keep the commandments to have eternal life, including the commandment to honor one's parents. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these things I have kept from my youth. Up, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We honor parents because God expects what parents do to be based in love. When parents act on behalf of a child, it is because they are seeking their child's best interest. Parents sacrifice for their children, seeking something better down the road, even if that something better down the road will only benefit their children. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not, itself is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. We are commanded to honor our mother and father, that things may go well for us so that we can have a long life. God expects that parents unselfishly seek what is best for their children, and that children of all ages unselfishly honor their mother and father. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.